We're in lesson 47 in the book of Matthew. As we look through the book of Matthew in a dispensational view, we've learned a lot of things that has to do with the kingdom program, have we not? And, you know, I count it a joy to stand up here and teach the Word of God rightly divided. And with every day that we look at this and every week, I'm learning more and more and more about some things, what the Lord Jesus Christ was instructing the 12 to do and what to expect in the kingdom program. And at the same time, you start looking some things and you're like, whoa, that seems like today. That seems like it's going on now. But we left off in verse 1 through 3, and today we're going to pick up Matthew 15, verses 4 through 6. For God commanded, let's start with verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thou disciples transgress the traditions of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? So they asked him a question, and he asked them a question. Verse 4, For God commanded, saying, Honor thou father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profit by me. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandments of God of none effect by your traditions. You see that? You listen to that? Not the train rolling down the track, but the words coming off the page. Jesus gives, once again, when you start chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ is going back to the nation Israel, where he knows he's already been rejected as them as a nation, but he's still going up against the leaders, and they're coming to him asking questions. And Jesus gives an illustration on how the Word of God becomes of none effect when traditions of men are added. You think about that today. Isn't that true today? When you take the Word of God, that the doctrine we have for the body of Christ, and when you add traditions of men to it, it makes the Word of God none effect. I know it's hard for some of us to swallow that, but it is. Whether you put traditions of baptism, traditions of tithing, traditions of church membership, any traditions of men that's going on today that you're not under, it makes it none effect. And it's going on today, isn't it? God said, honor thou mother and father. Did he not say that back in Exodus? Told him that. Tradition says to give a gift to the temple, and you shall be set free from the obligation to take care of your parents. Now, I'm telling you, wouldn't that be great for the kids today to think that? And they're doing that. You know, he says, it's funny, go hold your finger there and go to Exodus chapter 20 and get Exodus chapter 21. Let's see that for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thou father and thou mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's a commandment that he gave the nation Israel. Honor thou father and mother. Would you think today that's a good commandment, moral-wise? Should you not honor your father and mother? You know, mine could be the most dirtiest, rotten guy that ever walked this earth, but the Bible said still honor him. He's still my father, whether I like it or not. You know, sometimes that's hard to swallow, isn't it? But look at chapter 21. This is where he's getting at. He that curses father and mother, let him die the death. Now, many of us like that, don't we? Let my kids curse me. I got a graveyard in my backyard. You know. But look at verse 21, chapter 21, verse 17. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's strong, isn't it? You don't see that going on today. And if that kind of law was going on today, you'd probably have some, little ones really paying attention to the fathers and mothers, wouldn't they? But that's that's the what the law said and what God commanded to do. But the traditions of man turn around and say, hey, you bring us a gift and you can go on, you're set free. That's what he's talking about here. But go to verse 7, Matthew chapter 7. Excuse me, Matthew 15, 7. While you're turning there, Matthew chapter 5, when we looked at verse 5, Matthew 15, 5 says, but ye say, whatsoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profit by me. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, we went over this. Verse 23 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest thou brother hath aught against thee, leave thou the gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. There's gifts offering that they're offering here to get out of their obligations. Matthew 15, verse 7. 7 through 9. After he's telling them this thing, verse 7 says, ye hypocrites, well did Elias prophesy of you, saying, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and of the commandments of men. He's telling these guys, say, hey, what did he call them, first of all? Ooh. He called them hypocrites. The Lord Jesus Christ called somebody hypocrites. Didn't he also call them you vipers? You know, see, this illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be meek and mild all the time. When it came to the Word of God and God's tradition, he stood on his 2 feet and pointed the fingers at them. And that's tough, isn't it? But the Lord Jesus Christ did it for a reason. I know another man did it for a reason. The Apostle Paul. You know, I know this time of year, many of us was talking about what's going on with the ducks. And everybody wants to jump on his side. You know, he's not the first that happened to, and he's not going to be a last. But, you know, I know a guy in the Bible that started over 10 churches, and he said, you know, you plucked your eye out and gave it to me, but since I tell you the truth, you don't want nothing to do with me. And when he came up to stand in front of the king, no man stood with me. You know who I'm talking about? The Apostle Paul. You don't see nobody jumping on his side. And when they jump on his side and the skillet gets hot, they jump out, don't they? You got to stand. And the Lord Jesus Christ is pointing at those Pharisees because they're teachers. And he calls them hypocrites. But in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines and the commandments of men. Wonder what that is. I'm going to share this with you. In that verse 9 of Matthew, I use Treasure of Scripture Knowledge a lot. Okay, it's a book. It's a wonderful book that you can take verses out of that and you can use them other places where they're going to talk about. And we talked about veins in our conversation before, haven't we? Vain is emptiness. It's lie. And when he says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. In that vein, you can go back to Exodus chapter 20. He says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that to take the name in vain. And he goes down to Psalms 39. I'm just sharing some verses with you. Surely every man walketh in vain show. Surely they that disquiet in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth who shall gather them. Psalms, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. And over he talks about, and Isaiah 50, Isaiah 1, chapter 13, Isaiah 1, verse 13 through 15. Bring no more vain obligations, incest and abomination unto me, the new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. Thou that troubled unto me, I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. He's telling them all them traditions over and over. They're vain. And God hates that. He's always hated that. Isaiah 58, 1 through 3, cry aloud, spare not, lift up the voice like a trumpet, show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob that sins. Ye that seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteous and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask me of ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have they fasted, say they, they seeth not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest not knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact of all your labors. Hear what I'm saying? He's using that those traditions, and they're vain to God. They're doctrines of devils, what he end up saying. And today there's doctrines out there. Whew. In Malachi, he talks about it. In Mark chapter 7, verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines which commandments of men. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, by which ye are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preach. What did he preach? The gospel of Christ, that Christ died and buried and rose again, unless you believe in vain. That vainness goes all through the Bible. That vainness is working now. It really is. Teaching. You break down teaching. Whosoever I command you, observe and do, that thou shalt not add thereunto nor diminish. Over and over and over, that vain teaching is all through the Bible. It's serious. It was serious in times past. It's serious in but now. And it's going to be serious in ages to come. There's vain teachings out there. There are people sit in pulpits. We know what ministers like. Paul tells us don't be despised of that, right? There's ministers out there. We talked about this morning in the Romans class, and the fact that the flesh, you walk not in the flesh, but by the what? Spirit. That walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. That's what that spirit's under the grace condition, not the law. And it's very, very important in our walk. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 through 12. I just can't get over verse 9. But in vain they do worship me. There's people out there worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ then in vain, and they're doing it today, and they're blind. I'm preaching to myself here. You know, I'm serious. You know, we think about how we call people brothers all the time and sisters and go over and sing Kumbaya with them because their church door got knocked down by a windstorm or, you know, their garden's ripped up. But when it comes to this doctrine, they'll kick you out of their house and laugh as you're doing it and call you a cult because you stand by truth. Verse 10. I got to quit meddling. Go on. And he calleth the multitudes and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto them, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard thee say it? Wouldn't you be? If you're up there, a teacher in a synagogue and up there teaching to people, and Lord Jesus Christ, it's not what you put in your mouth, cornbread and beans and taters. It's what comes out. And Jesus explains that is a physical thing. like your hands are not what defiles the guy. It may offend you, pointing at you. That's why you go like that. You give him the hand chop. You know, you don't give him a finger. Give him the hand. It is what inside that comes out of the heart, that old sin nature is what's down there. And he's telling them. You remember what Jeremiah 17, 9, 10 says? Look at that. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what their heart condition was, did he not? You think Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what our heart, what my heart decision? Yes. Many of you look at me. Yeah, Ed, he knows your heart. You know what I mean? He knows all of our heart. But Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. This is why you don't give Jesus your heart, by the way. You hear that terminology? Oh, you got to give Jesus your heart. What is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, searches the heart, and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the full fruits of his doing. Now, what about your heart? That's everybody. And once you're saved, can your heart still be wicked? That's why he's saying what comes out, it's not what goes in. Well, I like what's going in. It's what's coming out. And Jesus was in their midst, back to Matthew, in their midst, rendering the nation's evil heart. That's why he went to back to the Pharisees and said, hey, that tells me something, that they're giving the Pharisees a chance, isn't he? He's given that nation a chance to change your heart. It's always been a heart issue. And he's rendered because they have an evil heart. And the Pharisees was offended. Who are you to tell me about my heart? If anybody walked this earth at all, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ could tell you how your heart is. Today, does he walk this earth? How would he tell us about your heart condition today? Through the Word of God. What you take in and what comes out. Now, mind you, many of you know my profession. I'm a special commodities relocation engineer. And I travel the byways and highways. And sometimes I really enjoy it. I really do. But sometimes it's a pain. And many of you will testify to that. You know, this time of year, you know, you can't go out anywhere without 1,500 vehicles in front of you. And there'd be a wreck there. And then you go around there, and there'd be a wreck there. And then you go through there, and there'd be a wreck there. And you're like, and I told my wife yesterday, I said, you know, you really got to have patience to be out in this traffic. Or you just stay home, don't you? You know, many of us just stay home. But it's cruel. And, you know, you think about, you know, he cut me off. I can get in the flesh just the same as anybody else. You know, and many of you know me. I'll let me share this with you. Many of you know me. There seem like there can't be a restaurant I go to that I don't have issues with. And it happened again yesterday. Yes. And my wife ordered breakfast, and it was lunchtime. And I said, you know something? How good is your stuffed cabbage rolls? You like those? I love them. And I said, it's been a long, long time since I had a good stuffed cabbage roll. And she brought two of them. She said, we haven't sold none for a while. You know, I'm like, you mean you haven't sold one for a while? She said, I haven't served any today. You know, that type of thing. She's backing up. I said, well, bring it to me. It was nice pile of mashed potatoes and green beans, and there's them cabbage rolls with that tomato sauce on it, you know. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, cut into it, cold. Cold. I'm like, this is why I don't order them. Now, you guys may make the best, and I come sit there, and I love them. I haven't had them probably in 20 years. Yes. And she said, I just don't understand. Let me go fix it. So she went back, brought it back. I'm sitting there. She brought me a new plate. I'm cut into it. Cold. The potatoes were steaming. And you know, I kind of hardly, I didn't say nothing. You know, I just held my peace. I said, you're not going to believe this. And she said, what? I said, it's cold. And I had sherry to taste at that time. And it was cold. I like it all, thoroughly, throughly, all the way through. Now, you know, that was homemade. That's what they said. They made them there. But the thing is, I knew what my heart could tell that lady. But I can't blame it on the waitress. She was happy-go-lucky, just making everything. They made it good. I mean, it only cost us, you know, nothing. We paid for sherry's, you know. And then we went out somewhere else later on because I was hungry. And, you know, it was a lot better than next place, believe me, next better. But I just got to know not what to order. But I don't know what it is, brothers. But my heart could be desperately wicked and just crucified those people in that place. They got the most wonderful breakfast you could ever have there. You know, lunch was okay. You know that type of thing. But my first instinct was soup. You can't go wrong much with soup, can you? And then I saw that. I said, oh. I like cabbage soup, yeah. And I saw that and I'm like, oh, man. Guess what? I'm not going to order. And I don't want to be the reputation. Oh, here comes that guy. He's wanting a free meal. You know, he ate a little bit here and ate a little bit there. No, it's just, I don't know what it is. But my heart changed in that situation and made it pleasant for the person that was serving me. You know, but when sin is cherished in a heart, whatever it is, truth is never relished. Right? You follow what I'm saying? When that sin in your heart is so overcoming, you don't care about it. That's what we touched on today, that you walk by flesh. You don't walk by flesh, you walk by the Spirit. And if that Spirit in you is the Spirit of God and you feed it the right doctrine, you're going to say the right things no matter what circumstances. Now, I can get mad just by anybody else. But I don't want nobody to know that I get that mad. Now, I'll tell some of you that. Probably, you know, the whole world's hearing about it right now. But, you know, I'm a man too. You are too. And you'd lie to yourself if you didn't get in the flesh. You know, but you can overcome that, can you not? And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. Go back to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verse 13. Now, I know you got to watch about application when you look at certain books of the Bible, right? But all of it's for us. It's for our learning. And we can learn from what the Lord Jesus Christ was instructing those disciples and those Pharisees and those leaders what to do and what not to do. And I can learn from that. I can. Now, you may not want to, but I can learn what they did, and I can see how they walk, and I can keep my ear to the ground and my eyes open and my tongue ready to speak as I ought to speak and point out what's going on today. It's sad. It's carrying on. Verses 13 and 14. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now there's a gardener. Every plant that his heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leadeth the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. He tells the disciples not to worry about those religious leaders. Didn't he just spend a whole chapter 14 in the parables speaking to them only and telling what they're going to go through over here in this tribulation period? And they are blind leading the blind. Now, let me ask you something. You think that's going on today? There's people out there are blinded, falling a blind guy. You know, there's three blind Jews in the Bible. And Paul was one of them there for a while. He was blinded. But you don't want to be blinded. And they let them fall in a ditch. You ever read Proverbs chapter 23, verse 27? Proverbs 23. This is what they're following. And we talk a lot about the parting, and we talk a lot about the apostasy, and we talk a lot about the religious system out there. But look what Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 27. For a whore is a deep ditch, and the strange woman is a narrow pit. Now, I'm not saying that to be ugly, but that's exactly where he said they'll fall into a ditch. That religious system was from the devil, and they went, if you don't mind me using this language, it's God, a whoring after other gods. And that's what those religious leaders back there was doing. They was committing spiritual adultery with God, and not God the Creator, but other gods. And it upsets me today that it's going on today, but I can't get upset for every little guy running out there. You know what I'm talking about? I had to watch this and instruct myself and my children and this church and the fact that there's brother down south, Tony, he called them altar pimps. Talking about these preachers and getting these people up there and sharing that stuff and committing spiritual adulteries, and the people sitting there don't know no better. Blind leading the blind. And I'm telling you, if you look through that system over there, and that's all it is. Now, you may not realize that, but I do. And I'll point it out to you, and I hope you point out somebody else once you study it out. Does it sound like I'm mad? Okay, good.
Normal.
Okay, good. All right. I don't want to come out of mad. I'm just saying, you know, this time of year, you know, thank you. Yeah.
Zealous.
Provoking. Hey, chapter 15, verse 15. Read down to verse 20. Then answered Peter and said unto them, declare unto us this parable. Now, did he not speak parables to them over in chapter 14, 13, 14? Yes. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Now, once again, did Peter not say with the other, we understand what you say in those parables? So he would, if once he said that, he would acknowledge, said, wait a minute, that's not a parable. You're not speaking parables to us. You're speaking fact to the religious leaders. Verse 17. Did not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in and at the mouth goeth into belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, thieves, faultlessness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not the man. That was the issue from the beginning, verse 1. Oh, your disciples, you know, transgress the law. He's eating with bread without hands. Peter thought Jesus was speaking in a parable. The Lord questions Peter as to why they don't listen, pay attention, and understand. Now, we can look at our children all day long like that, can't we? Why don't you listen to me? Don't you understand what I say? I know adults like that way when it comes to the Word of God. Jesus is saying, hey, the Word of God is saying, hey, listen to me. Listen to what I say. The Lord was not speaking in parables. Jesus again explains that what comes from the heart is evilness that defiles a man. If I was out eating that day and I just was so mad about, you know, that food, I could have just been evil. And I wore the back of my shirt or my jacket that said, Christ died for my sins. Now, what, you know what I mean? I could have ripped that place apart and people look. And the back, last thing they would say is, Christ died for my sins. Now, what came out of my heart? at that particular moment, it was good things, wasn't it? I maintained because I knew. And it defiles a man not because he doesn't wash his hands. Now, how many of you guys wash your hands before you eat bread? Many of you probably go into scrubs. But I don't know about y'all, but they're talking about the FDA now. It's talking about the antibacterial soap that I forget what percentage of it is not doing what it's supposed to do. Therefore, they're telling the people that either you stand by what it says or you don't sell it for what it is. I'm thinking, yeah, it took you 25 years to figure that out, that antibacterial soap, it's not good. And you're better off just go over in hot water and wash your hands and soap. Soap keeps your hands in the water. Ooh, boy. Ooh. Ooh. It does. Ooh. I'm telling you what, now, many of you put trust in those people, and yet it's okay. It really is. I'm not preaching against authority. But you better do your homework on some of that stuff. And some of us do, and some of us don't. But Israel's problem wasn't that she had a good heart that was misguided. Israel tried to have a good heart, didn't they? But they blind leading the blind. And Israel had an evil and wicked heart of unbelief. And no matter the testimonies raised before her, she was not going to believe it. The nation of Israel was not going to believe it. Let's go to verse 21 through 22. Now let's stop there, because next time that we're going to get into some things about a Gentile lady that's coming in, and she's going to call him Lord, and he's going to feed her. But getting back to Israel back there, they followed. If you know anything about the timeline and you know your Bible, this top line up here represents the nation Israel, true nation Israel. There was a false religion out there that followed, and that's what these people was a part of. Yeah. And they went after other gods and other religions and allowed them to come in, and they've been a problem ever since they came out of Egypt. You know, to be honest with you, that there was a religious system down there, and God had a religious system. There's only one religious system God gave, and that was the law for them to follow. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm very thankful that I'm not under that type of law today. You know, you have liberty to say whatever you want to. You really do. But you got to watch your walk, don't you? You know, Romans, you really, you know, and your children, you better thank God that you're not under the Old Testament law, because if you speak evil of your parents or curse your father and mother, you're worthy of death. Now, how about that? I would have been dead 2 or 3 times. Yeah. Father, we do thank you for so much in our life. We thank you for the things you've given us freely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.